Psalms 28, verse 5, God will destroy all men who do not consider his work. He says, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of their hands, he will destroy them and not build them up. Now, this is a fact. And of course, whether it's Old Testament or New, as far as where it is written is concerned, it's not part of the law that was nailed to the cross. It's in the Psalms. And it is a fact. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. So we do need to regard the works of the Lord. Now, in again, we don't like to pull the Hebrew on it, but it looks like it's necessary tonight. The Hebrew word for because they regard not, the regard there is actually understand, 995. So because they don't understand the works of the Lord, and they don't understand the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Remember in Psalms 14, verse 2, the Lord is looking for a certain kind of people and still is. Psalms 14, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. Now, anyone that turns to the Lord, the veil is going to be taken away. So here, he's looking for those that, number one, they understand. And number two, because they understand, they seek God. So we need to understand God has an eternal purpose. And when we understand what that purpose is and how to accomplish it, then he will work with us and help us to accomplish his purpose in each one of us. So we need to understand the works of the Lord, and we need to understand the operation of his hands so that he'll build us up. In Psalms 111, verses 1 and 2, Psalms 111, let's notice how many times the psalmist praises God because he has found some works of God that God revealed. And notice God has to reveal these things to us for us to understand. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Why? I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Why? In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Why? The works of the Lord are great. That's why. Sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. So if we're seeking the work of God and seeking God, we'll have pleasure in his works. And his works are great and sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. So we need to be seeking out the works of God, not just some of them. We need to understand all of them, everything that's revealed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, man without God cannot even find the work of God, much less do it. And this verse is very telling. And again, I don't like to pull the Hebrew here, but for whatever reason, it appears that the translators didn't translate this according to the Hebrew. So we read it according to the translators first. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning of the end. Now, looking at what it actually states here in this translation, God has set the world in their heart, and the reason is so that no man can find God's work from the beginning to the end. That's not what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set eternity in their heart. And then, so that is without which no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. So God has set eternity in man's heart, without which, without having that in our hearts, eternity, we can't find out the work of God that God makes from the beginning to the end, which tells us what? If we have eternity in our hearts, we can find out the work that God makes. Now, not necessarily everything, but we can find out the work of God if we have eternity in our hearts. So God's work is eternal. Man's work is temporary. Everything that God does is eternal. Even though he's made the work, the world, which is temporary, nevertheless, that work accomplishes his eternal work. So God has set eternity in our minds. That's the way we need to think. Not from our world, from God's eternal world. In Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, Ecclesiastes 8, verses 16 and 17, he tells us that even the wisest cannot know the work of God unless God shows it to us. Verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, that's the same as under the sun, for also there is that neither day nor night sees sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Now notice this is not talking about the work under heaven. He's talking about the work under the sun, which is, of course, physical things. So can we understand and know all the work that God is doing here on this earth? All we have to do is look out the window, see some trees and ground and land and a few other things, and we need to look and see what all God has done in every leaf, branch, root, the animals, everything there. There's no way that man can find out everything that God is doing. So as far as knowing this world is concerned, God is so wise that he's so far above us that there's no need for us to try to even find out what these things are about. And yet, what is man doing? Man is searching day by day, trying to find out and understand these things. And they are finding some things, and they're marvelous when they find it out. And we're astonished. Nevertheless, how much are they actually finding out of what God is doing every single day on this earth? Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5, there's no need for us to seek these things on earth. We need to have eternity in our hearts and seek those things that are eternal. Ecclesiastes 11, 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes all things. So we don't know what is the way of the Spirit. We can't see that. And when the bones are in the womb, we don't see what's happening there, though we know it is happening. But we don't know how they do all that. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who makes all things. So there's no need to try and figure out God. We need to mind our business and do the work that God has given us to do. In John, the 5th chapter, Jesus now mentions this work of God that he wants us to be involved with. John 5, verse 19, and we've dealt with 19 many times. Let's deal with verse 20 tonight. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, that's the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. So what's Jesus seeing? He's seeing what the Father does, the works of God. Does he delight in these things? He does, and he's looking for more of them. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now, did he show him all the scientific things that he does, or is this in a context? This is in a context of what Jesus should do all the days of his life that are here on the earth. And so he sees the Father doing these works. Why? The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. So the Father had to show Jesus what he did, so Jesus then could be involved in the same works. Does the Father then need to reveal to us what he's doing? And of course, he has done in the Word of God. We have all truth. But we also need to have understanding, and unless God gives that understanding, we can't know it. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 17, the scriptures do contain all truth and profitable for doctrine, for correction, for righteousness. But remember, God's got to give us the understanding. So we need to lift up our voice for that, Proverbs 2, and we need to depend on God in 2 Timothy 2:7. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So there are two main things there, that he was made like his brethren in everything. So he needs to be a merciful, which is the word kind, and faithful high priest. So he is our high priest. He is our example of what we should do. He's our teacher in things pertaining to God. So we need to listen to our high priest and be thankful that he was made like unto us in all things, so he could be kind to us and a faithful high priest. He understands well we are, because he was made like his brethren in everything. So that alone should convince us that God himself knows what he's talking about. So the Father loves the Son, shows him all things that himself do it. In Psalms 111, we'll be dealing with quite a few verses in the Old Testament here, because these were revealed to the Jews, and it's not part of the Old Testament law. These are facts that we need to know. Psalms 111, verses 3 to 8. His work, that is the Father's work, is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. So if we have joy in seeking out God's work, we're seeking what is honorable, that is worthy of praise, and what is glorious, that's something that is very beautiful. And his righteousness endures forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. So we can search out works he wants us to know. He's made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, that is favorable, and full of compassion. He does favor those that are seeking him, and he is full of compassion on those that are seeking him. But what about his enemies? No, he doesn't show his favor to the enemies. He's putting them under his feet, and he's not showing them compassion. He's putting them under his feet. So these are the ones who are seeking the works of God. That needs to be us. Verse 5, he has given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. So we can look at the covenant and know that God knows what's there, and we can pray about that covenant and seek to fulfill it. Verse 6, he showed his people the power of his works. Why? That he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Now, what that refers to may be the Dark Ages when his kingdom ruled the world, or it may refer to something else. Nevertheless, he has showed the people the power, that is the dunamis, the strength of his works. So we need to find that strength as we look for God's works. The works of his hand are verity and judgment. So is he talking about physical strength here? Verity is truth, that's not physical. Judgment is not physical. So the works of his hand are truth and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. So how long are his commandments going to last? We are learning how to walk by the commandments in heaven right now. And that's why we are assured that we will be ready to reign with him forever, because the commandments that we find primarily in his love are commandments that stand fast forever and ever. This world will not stand fast forever and ever. These commands will. So we need to learn these commands and learn them well and walk by every one of them. And how do we do it? We see the works of his hands, and we see his commandments. We see his truth and his judgment. And his judgment is also part of his wonderful works. Let's turn to Joshua 24 and verse 31. Joshua 4, verse 31. Those who know God's works have enough faith to be faithful to God. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Why? Well, Joshua followed the Lord. He was a leader. And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Why? They were the leaders. Why? They knew the works, all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So they remembered. They weren't like an ordinary person in Israel. They remembered all these wonderful works, and God chose these elders so they would lead the people. But something happened after these elders died. Let's look in Judges now, 2 verse 7. He mentions the same people. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So what would happen now if our children, or what will happen if our children don't know these wonderful works of God? Now, we have a great responsibility then to make sure that all of our children know all of these wonderful works of God, and they need to know not just surprising miracles, but they need to see the goodness. They need to see the truth. They need to see the judgment. They need to see God's righteousness in all these things. And we might be surprised on the understanding God will give our children if we'll teach them his wonderful works. So Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 21 and 22, we might be surprised how much our children understand, even if they can't respond to us and answer, because God's the one that can give the understanding, and especially if we ask him to give understanding to the children's hearts. Jeremiah 23, verse 21, if God's children can hear God's word, they will follow God's words. I have not sent these prophets, talking about the false prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they, these false prophets, had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Why is that? Because God says, like the waters cover the earth and cause it to grow, so his word is what he uses to produce fruit. So if we're willing to use God's words, not ours, and cause the people to hear God's words, then they will turn away from the evil of their way. They'll also turn to righteousness, because that's the mind God's children have. So we need to be fair to them and give them God's words. Then God will give the increase to his words. So God's children have that new mind, and that mind is to obey all the commands of God. Acts, the second chapter, verse 6, even the tongues that God commanded, which looked like they were useless to most people, even they contained the wonderful works of God. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Cretes, verse 11, Cretes, Arabians, do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? So when God inspired these tongues, what did he inspire? He wants men to hear his wonderful works. He wants us to rejoice in them, and he wants us to tell others about these wonderful works. And if we will, then they will honor God and see the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and the righteousness of God. In Psalms 46 and verse 8, even when God made desolations in the earth, or present tense, even when he makes desolations in the earth, God's children can recognize God's work. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. Well, those desolations are for an eternal purpose. He's seeking to cause men to turn to him. And whatever God does, he wants men to remember them forever. In Psalm 77, or at least as long as we live on this earth, we need to remember them. Psalm 77, verse 11, the righteous meditate on all of God's work. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So here is a wonderful person who has the heart of God, and he's remembering not the things that are happening today or at his time, but he remembers the works of the Lord, his works and wonders of old. And he says he meditates on all his work. Now, if that's what we're doing, we'll have a zeal then to share these same things with our children. And they will marvel, and especially if God gives them understanding. So what do the righteous then talk about? The righteous should consider things that are eternal. And each time that we tell something or say something, we need to consider, is this something that is part of God's eternal work? Or is this something that is a vanity and something that is going to be destroyed very soon? It's not easy to turn our hearts to speak about these eternal things. But even when we speak about the temporal things, what should be in our hearts, I need to do better than that. Temporal things are not going to help very many people. God's works and God's righteousness will help everybody that listens. In Acts the 17th chapter, verse 21, Acts 17 and verse 21, I don't know how he could describe our people better today than in this verse. So for all the Athenians, people in Athens, and strangers which come to Athens, which were there, spent their time in nothing else but what? But either to tell or to hear some new thing. When we see something new, what do we want to do? We want to immediately tell somebody. And the 10 o'clock news is no longer the 10 o'clock news. Now it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We can hear new things constantly every single day. And our hearts rejoice when we hear these new things. We want to tell them to others and cause their hearts to rejoice. But question, how much eternal good do these Athenians do in all of their work with these newscasters? We need to be thinking about things that are eternal, things that are good, things that are eternal, things that we'll be rewarded for on Judgment Day for sharing. In Psalms 107, again, he's dealing with some temporary things here, but nevertheless, notice how his work is eternal. And we can talk about temporal things if that work is going to result in something that is eternal. Psalms 107, starting in verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why? For his goodness. All right, let's see that goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. Not in the children of men, but to the children of men. We need to listen to his wonderful works. Well, here's one of them. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare his works with rejoicing. All right, so if we are praising the Lord for his goodness, we'll be declaring his wonderful works with rejoicing. That'll make our own hearts happy. They that go down to the sea in ships, here's his temporary illustration, that do business in great waters, that have to be the Mediterranean, these see the works of the Lord. All right, what are the works? And his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind. Okay, there's one of his great works, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. What is their heart like when their ship starts going up? They go down to the depths. What does their ship think about hitting the ground, being destroyed? Their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wits' end. So here, these people are in trouble. And who's causing that to happen? Notice in verse 25, God is the one that commands and raises that stormy wind. Well, he's doing the same thing today. I think we called the last one Zeta, didn't we? We've run out of women's names, it looks like, and now we're calling them by Greek letters. Well, whatever these are, God continues to give these works to us to consider. And is there any damage that is done? Behold what desolation he makes. We need to understand this is not just happening by chance. And I'm reminded of the time that we went to Bennettsville because they had damage to their church building and some of the members' houses. And in looking at the storm, we went down one street, and we saw that the tops of every single house were removed. The rest of the house was still there, but all the tops were gone. And then we got down to the end of the street, and across across the road from the avenue, was a forest. But instead of the wind of the tornado going down out into the woods and tearing up the woods, it literally made a 90-degree turn and went down that next avenue and took all the tops of the houses out of those houses. Was this just a happenstance that just happened? We can see God's work constantly in all of these things. And we need to see the work of God and notice that God wants them. In verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end, and then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. So it wasn't just when Jesus was there that these waters were calm. It was in response to these people crying unto the Lord in their trouble. So then their response then to him delivering them, then they are glad of verse 30 because they be quiet. So he brings them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So when we're praying to the Lord and these things are answered, we need to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works in the children of men. They're still taking place, and they will always take place. We need to see these wonderful works of the Lord. Psalm 66, verses 1 to 6. Psalm 66, the psalmist invites men to see the work that God has done in the earth. Make a joyful noise unto the earth, all you lands. Why? Sing forth the honor of his name. That's the value of his name. Why? Make his praise glorious. Why? Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. That's why. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Not necessarily here on the earth, but nevertheless, through the greatness of God's power, men submit themselves to the Lord. All the earth shall worship thee. Well, that's not happening now, and we don't need to expect it till judgment day. But they'll sing unto the Lord. They'll sing to his name, his authority. Come and see the works of God. They'll remember these works after they're there on judgment day, especially when every man has to answer for every word that comes out of his mouth. They'll have all these works reminded of them and told to them. And he says, come and see the works of God. That's when they'll be singing and worshiping to the Lord. So how he turned the sea into dry land, they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He's caused these wonderful works to be remembered. He does many wonderful things. We need to talk about God's work and what God has done and is doing. Psalms 139, verse 14. David speaks of the wonderful work of God that he does, present tense, in our physical bodies. We don't have to look far to see the works of the Lord. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So here, we don't have to look far. We just need to look at our bodies. When we get a cold, what happens? Somehow it gets better. When these accidents take place, somehow the body heals itself. Somehow the body is used to do many different things. What about his mind, man's mind, and all the marvelous things God, man's mind is able to do? These are all the works of God, and man takes credit for it, but who gave them the mind, the brains to do all these things? If we didn't have the brains, we wouldn't have any mind. We didn't have our hands, we couldn't do anything. we didn't have our feet, we'd be stuck. We've got to have all these things, the heart, the mind, the soul, the heart, everything. All these things are working together. And who does all these works? We know the Lord does them. And David then speaks and says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to thank God for these marvelous works, even in our own bodies. Psalms 145, verses 3 to 10. Psalms 145. David sincerely loves and honors the work of God. Verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Why? And his greatness is unsearchable. Well, that's one reason why. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Well, if the children of Israel had done that, the children would have known the works of God and wouldn't have forgotten or would have known it. So parents have a grave responsibility to their children to praise God and tell the children of these mighty and wonderful works of God. And we need to rejoice in telling them and being able to tell them. These works should never get old to us. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, God's power, strength, wisdom, all that, and of thy wondrous works. We can do that. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, fearful acts. And I will declare thy greatness for all these things. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. All these things God has done, we can tell these to our children, to tell these things to others. And even if we know about all these things, it's great to remind ourselves of all these things. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Who's he full of compassion toward? Who does he show his favor to? Not his enemies. He shows that to the ones that love him and love his works. He's slow to anger with those that love him and love his works. And he's of great mercy. That word is kindness in the Greek. God shows great kindness to those who love him and speak of his work. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God's doing all these things and causing these to happen. The world says his nature. They don't know the nature is spelled G-O-D. Verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Not everybody blesses God, but God's holy ones bless him for all these wonderful works that he has done and continues to do. And all of his works shall praise him, in verse 10. Psalms 90, Moses now is asking the Lord to bless the works that he's done through Moses. Psalms 90, verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, there's that word kindness, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We can be glad and rejoice if we're thinking about his marvelous works. Make us glad, Moses pleads, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. So those are necessary to form their hearts. And Moses said, make us glad according to those days. Why? Does he say, make us glad for the same number of days? Or make us glad because of these days where our hearts are formed? And that's something great to rejoice in. When God's work forms our hearts in his image, what better thing could we have than the eternal works of God in our hearts that will never end? He's building in us. Verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants, and let thy work, let thy glory be unto the children. So we need to see these. We need to ask the Lord to show others these wonderful works that God does. Verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That's not physical beauty. That's spiritual beauty. It's love, kindness, purity, holiness. These are the beautiful things of the Lord. They need to be upon us, in us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Notice, establish the work of our hands upon us. If we obey the commands of God, we get the heart of God and the mind of Christ. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it, make it solid, make the work in our hearts to exist forever. So what are some of the special works of God today? In Acts, the second chapter, verses 34 to 36, God does many good works today. David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, why? Because he's at his Father's right hand, that's not enough. He's making his foes his footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So who's putting Jesus' enemies under his feet today? Well, we're seeing many things in politics, especially our minds are there right now, in hope that the Lord will do something good for us. But look at all the different works that he's doing in the children of men, especially these that are evil. He's putting his foes under his footstool. The Lord is giving these men an opportunity to do as much evil as they want to do. And he's finding out how much they will do and how much they're willing to do. And they're just getting deeper and deeper in trouble and more under his footstool. And when he tries everything with them and they choose all these things he's going to judge them on judgment day 4. And it'll be a righteous judgment. And the Lord is doing this eternal work right here on this earth. Why? Well, he's forming the hearts of these men. And he's finding out just how wicked these men are willing to be. Well, they can see then what they really are. Remember, God makes us souls. Man became a living soul. And he gives all men a heart and a mind. He's created all men alike. Then he finds out what these souls will do for the hearts that he's given them and the minds that he's given them. So even though it looks like a horrible thing and wicked thing and evil to us, and of course it is, but nevertheless, God's doing an eternal work in their hearts also. And God is forming men's hearts. How many are the same when they leave this world as they are when they come? Nobody is. Everybody is very much changed. And a child may go one way or another, but it's not long until we see where that child wants to go. God is doing this work and forming their hearts. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. For he must reign, that is Jesus, till all his enemies are under his feet. So is God accomplishing a good work there? Jesus' enemies need to be under his feet. And though it looks horrible to us, it is, nevertheless, God is performing an eternal work. And he's going to keep Jesus in authority on that throne, ruling in heaven and in earth until every single enemy is under Jesus' feet. So then when all that happens, then Jesus is going to give the kingdom back to the Father. So he's not just working in his children. He's working in the hearts of the sons of men. And this is a marvelous work. It's a good work. And it is an eternal work. Philippians 2, verse 13. God's eternal work is the work that he's doing in men here on earth. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which works in you. We're not doing it ourselves. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. These are what he wants to accomplish. And though we may think it's our work, guess whose work it is? For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We don't need to think that we're alone on this earth. We're never alone. God's always there. And he's got angels around. He's got other servants. God is working constantly with literally everything. Ephesians 1:11 tells that. Ephesians 1, verse 11, God's work is everything he does, which is according to the counsel of his own will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, that's in Christ, being predestinated, God's determined this, according to the purpose of him, God, the Father, who works all things after the counsel of his will. What's left out? There's absolutely nothing that's left out. And I hear sometimes we say, Lord, thank you for allowing us to come here as though we're in control. Well, if he works all things after the counsel of his will, how much are we in control? How many things do we do because it's our will? If we want to find out sometime, get up in the morning, make a list of everything you're going to do and at what time you're going to do it, and see what happens. Now, God's the one that's working all things after the counsel of his own will. We'll answer for everything we do, but he's not only got a record of it, he is the one that's working in us. None of God's works are wasted. They're all eternal. In Romans 8:28, that we all know, all things work together for good. Who's working them? All things work together for good to them that love God. Those are the ones obeying his commands. To them are who are called according to his purpose, to be in the image of Christ. So he calls men to be in the image of Christ. He helps those that are willing to be formed, and he puts the rest of them under his feet. But God is doing all these things, and it's not just in the forest and the leaves and the trees. He's doing his work in the hearts of the sons of men. So his works are good works that form his children. 1 John, the third chapter, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. One of God's works is to destroy Satan's evil works. And he does that through our good works. 1 John 3, 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, shown to us, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So how does he destroy the works of the devil when all these men are doing evil? Well, he's accomplishing his eternal purpose, informing their hearts for one thing. And secondly, he destroys the works of the devil by good works. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. When God forms our hearts, what does he do to the work of the devil that was in our hearts? And it seems like the devil has first shot at most of us. I don't think he did with David. I don't think he did with Christ. But nevertheless, most of us have a lot of the work of the devil in our hearts before the Lord can change that heart into good. So the Lord's purpose then is to destroy the works of the devil, and he's doing that. And God is, that's part of God's wonderful work. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 6, and we'll stop here. God is the one who's working all things after the counsel of his will. And when it came to the spiritual gifts, he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. God's working through the Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The Father's directing the Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. So if God is working all, what is left out? We need to rejoice in the works of God. We need to see the works of God. We need to rejoice and tell others of the wonderful works of old that God has done. And that way we can see the wonderful works of God that he's doing even now. So we need to praise God, especially for forming our hearts more and more in the image of Christ, so we are able to live with the commands he's training in us now forever and ever. May his name be glorified and his will be done forever and ever.